The extreme heat didn't keep people away from Wheels Through Time, a historic bike show at Bloomington's David Davis Mansion over the weekend. GLT correspondent Willis Kern reports.
The term scorcher took on new meaning as the heat index again crossed over 105 degrees. Many attending the third annual bike history event are learning scorchers had a different meaning back in the day. In the 1890s, scorchers were people who menaced communities by riding their bikes aggressively at high speeds. Dozens of bicycles from three different centuries are on display alongside two presentations. One of those centers on new technologies and social acceptance of bikes since their introduction as velocipedes around 1817, and the other focuses on the history of women and cycling in Illinois.
The bicycle truly was a force for social change.
That's Christopher Sweet, a bike historian at Illinois Wesleyan University, discussing the role women played during the late 1800s in bicycle pioneering and how female bike riding impacted society.
They were so popular that they had the ability and the power to change social norms. It changed what people wore. It changed the idea of what women could do. They could ride and they could not be injured. It was a healthy thing for them to do.
Prior to that, Sweet says women were perceived as too dainty to ride bicycles, sitting side saddle to limit the chance of injury from falling forward off of the high wheel bicycles that were popular at the time. But in the 1890s, women such as Tilly Anderson changed perceptions. The Swedish immigrant landed in Chicago and won most races in which she competed, many challenged by talented male riders. In 1896, famed women rights activist Susan B. Anthony proclaimed bicycling, quote, did more to emancipate women than anything else in the world. Sweet says the popularity of bicycling helped pave the way for the automobile, which was in its infancy during the 20th century's first decade.
In one sense, it was literal that they worked on brick streets. They worked on what they called macadam, which was an early type of asphalt or pavement. And also then the technology of manufacturing bicycles was directly related to cars. Things like ball bearings were pioneered for bicycles. Things like pinion steering, that sort of the rack and pinion steering, was a bicycle development. Pneumatic tires or bicycle development. So some of the early car prototypes just used bicycle parts.
Sweet says most of these developments occurred prior to an extreme dip in bicycling popularity around 1900. Thomas Burb, associate professor of anthropology and sociology at Illinois State University, says many scholars blame the advent of the trolley system for the cultural bike crash. Burr said it's likely deeper than that.
Social class. I mean, it was imitation. That poor people, and especially ethnic poor people, and in the South, it was post-Civil War, so free blacks, started riding bicycles as they got cheaper, and middle-class people said, I don't think so anymore.
Burr says bike sales plummeted so deeply that after World War I, manufacturers dramatically shifted their marketing.
That's really when the industry said, we have to go with children. That's a new market. Adults are just going to automobiles.
Burr says more and more bikes were designed like motorcycles to appeal to the youth market. Later, the Stingray model with banana seats and high handlebars were in. The children's bike trend remains today, while more and more adults got back on bikes during the advent of the 10-speed in the 1960s. But Burr says a major shift occurred in the 1970s.
But it really was what bicycle historians call the Great American Bicycle Boom in the 70s. You know, what we called in those days 10 speeds, it really got even more intense in the 80s. And I do think Greg LeMond succeeding, you know, coming in third in the Tour de France and then winning the Tour de France three times, I think that helped boost bicycle racing, bicycle touring. I think ecological concerns in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s were part of it also. I think health concerns were also part of it as we were shifting ever more to automobiles. So, you know, the shift in the 70s was pretty complex. It's not just one thing.
New to this year's show is a collection of bikes from Peoria's Wheels of Time Museum. Board Chair Jim Baldwin says the museum has about 50 cars, a Rock Island locomotive, four or five train cars, and a tractor collection, in addition to several dozen bicycles. Among the bikes on display at the Davis Mansion is the American Star. Museum volunteer Ron Anderson says it's an early 20th century bike that doesn't use a conventional pedal system for forward motion. He describes its small front wheel and large back wheel, which is opposite of the high wheelers generally built before it.
It has an up and down motion of the pedals and a friction drive You can see from, you know, the leather belting around the hub there on either side.
Museum President Baldwin says the American Star featured a unique carbide lamp which produced light from a reaction of calcium carbide in water. He says it was invented as an alternative to the accident-prone front high wheelers.
This was invented because the high wheel, people used to tip over whenever they'd hit something.
They take a header.
Yeah. And so what he did is, this guy invented this one. The little wheel is in the front. And because of this mechanism, they said it would go, you could get it to 20 miles an hour.
Let's see, it wasn't particularly successful. For whatever reason.
Also on display is the museum's 1930s era Ingo bike. It features an elliptical rear wheel, and to propel it, you move your body up and down. According to an accompanying promotional flyer, Ingo bikes were popular among Hollywood stars who would use them during downtimes while filming. And at this year's event is the high wheel bike displayed by the Wheelman. That's a club based near Antioch, Illinois. It's for enthusiasts of the earliest kinds of bicycles. State Captain Paul Schmidt sports knickers and a brown leather chauffeur-style cap, and he stands near a 12-year-old exact reproduction of an 1885 Victor high wheeler. It features about a 12-inch diameter back wheel and a 50-inch front wheel, and what appears to be a small step on the frame.
It has a built-in peg right above the back wheel, and because the back wheel is small, it gives you an ideal position to put that peg that you can get your toe up on it while standing on the ground, and then once you stand up on that, then you're high enough to slide into the saddle.
Schmidt's Victor High Wheeler sports wavy handlebars with spade-type grips.
Originally, they made them straight across, but that meant the handlebar had to be taller because when you're riding it, your legs come up so high on the upstroke, you would hit the handlebar with your knees. So then they arched the handlebar up like a mustache shape, but then that made your arms too high and you're riding around with your elbows bent, which is very uncomfortable. So then they curved it back down again so your arms could be straight and still have the middle higher to clear your knees. Really the only trick on these is getting on and getting off. And getting on is just believing you can do it.
The Victor High Wheeler caught the eye of Gino Stanley of Bloomington.
It looked nice and it have that antique feel. So basically we got an idea like how the bicycles evolved to this age.
Stanley moved to Central Illinois almost 4 years ago from India. He says the popularity of biking there has ebbed and flowed, but right now is down.
Nowadays, it's the trend is coming a little bit low. Still, the people are going for high-end bicycles, but not to the extent in early 80s or 90s. In my childhood, like it was every child's dream to have a bicycle by the age of, say, 7, 8. Now, it's a little bit changed because of this modern technology, all these video games and all that. But still, there are people who are very much interested in riding bicycles for exercise, basically.
As for the future, it appears electric bikes are gaining popularity, at least in some areas overseas. ISU Assistant Professor Thomas Burr says the so-called e-bikes are the rage in East Asia.
You do the work most of the time, but you get that electric assist. I think it's very appealing for people. They're not really well known here.
Burr says the history of bicycling is filled with unexpected twists, which makes it difficult to predict what is the next hot thing.
E-bikes may take off tremendously in this country, and they may never. I couldn't honestly predict.
I'm Willis Kern.
The Wheels Through Time, a historic bike show, also featured informal interactions with historic acting troupe actors, a slow bike race, and a casual bike ride on one of the oldest sections of the nearby Constitution Trail.